To the book of Psalms, Psalm 19. And we'll read verse 7 through 9. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Psalm 19, 7. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Father, we thank you for this psalm, and we pray that you would teach us the meaning of these words. We praise you for the revelation that you've given us. We pray that you would just quicken our thoughts and minds to really get this. Holy Spirit, we need you to teach us and convict us. Oh, yeah, I see that. Give us that, oh, ah, I see moments. And show it how it applies to us. We do this in the name of Jesus for the glory of God. Amen. You know, the book of Psalms 19 is really two books. Really two books. In Psalm 19:1 begins the first book of Psalm 19. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands." And it says, "Day after day, they pour forth speech." You ever go out in the night and look at the stars and say, boy, that sky's talking, right? Look at the awesomeness of it. So from verses 1 through 6, we see the general revelation of God in creation and how it speaks to us that there is a God. There's someone greater than us who deserves our worship. But in verse 7, we begin book 2 of Psalm 19. That was general revelation in verse 1, but in verse 7, the law of God is perfect, reviving the soul. And throughout, it's talking about a special revelation beyond creation. And it's speaking of the revelation of God in His Word. We call it special revelation because it takes the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to the truth of Scripture and see what is there. And we've been going through this. I asked a question last week as we covered verses 1 through 6. If God spoke to you like he did to Moses from Mount Sinai, and there were thunder, lightning, earthquakes, he'd have your attention, right? You'd listen to him. And then we go to the New Testament on the Mount of Transfiguration, where there was the disciples and Jesus appeared in glory with Moses and Elijah. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." Oh, we'd listen to that, right? I mean, the earth starts shaking and there's Jesus and Elijah and Moses in glory shining as the sun. Oh, and a voice, "This is my son." You'd hear the word of God then, wouldn't you? You know what one of the eyewitnesses to that event said? In 2 Peter, I won't turn there. We went through this last week. In 2 Peter 1:16, he said, "We were there. We heard the voice." And Peter was coming to the end of his life, and he said, "But now we have a more sure word of testimony. The Scriptures." Wow. Who would have thunk it that the Scripture is a more sure word of testimony, they're the very voice of God and the glory of those three individuals. Do we really value and do we really listen to the word of God, to this special revelation? The Bible is more profound than the voice of God on that day with Jesus and on Mount Sinai. How do you look at it? Today I want to encourage you to eat. You see, how do we get from the mountain to eating? I'll show you. If you had only one food that you could have, maybe you think of your favorite food, strawberry shortcake, chicken nuggets, Big Mac, which would you choose? Now think of that one food item you would have. Maybe you just want some rice, no oil, just salt. I don't know. Different diets. The rice diet. Okay, you got that in mind, right? Only one food. And that's all you can eat forever. What would it be? You say, forever? I'm stuck with that choice? Yep. Today, I want us to think about what we've been eating. Today, I want to think about you to think about if you are really growing and thriving in what you're eating. Chicken nuggets don't take you so far. Right? Big Mac. You become what you eat, right? You've heard that. Big Mac, you like Big Macs? Look in the mirror. You become a Big Mac. You become what you eat, right? I think this is even more profound spiritually. And I want to encourage you, as it says here in verse 7 of Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. I want to tell you that there is a soul food that will feed your soul, your psyche, your mind, your heart, your innermost being. And I want to submit to you that God's word is not chicken soup for the soul. God's word is bread for your soul. You said bread? Well, bread today is not like the bread then. They lived off bread and they were healthy. I want to submit to you. I want to encourage you to eat the word of God and grow up and become more like Christ. I want to suggest the diet, you know, all these fad diets, you know, the fat diet, this diet, that diet. I want to suggest to you the diet of the Word of God. And I want you to eat it up. That you cannot wait to the next meal. I want you to eat it up so that you can grow up to be more like Jesus Christ. You say, I want the other kind of growth. This is more important. You know what Jesus said in John 6? The flesh profits nothing, whether that flesh is fish, whatever, chicken, steak. The flesh profits nothing. You know what he said? The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And prior to that in John 6, he was saying, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they died. He said, I am the bread that has come down from heaven, that if a man eats of it, he will live forever. I'm recommending on my one item menu that you choose, and you choose wisely, that you choose the Word of God, that you eat it up, because what you eat, you become. You eat Big Macs, you can be big like Mac. All right? We're talking about spiritual maturity. I want to encourage you to eat God's Word daily. You say, but I don't have time. Well, when it comes to you eating, you take time, right? Unless you're fasting, unless you don't have anything, you take time to eat. I want to encourage you to take time and eat the Word of God daily. It is spiritual nutrition. It is the perfect food. It is the superfood that will help you to become more like Jesus. It says the law of the Lord, and when it says the law, it's Torah, and it meant the entire Bible. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving your soul. Spiritual nutrition. And packed in the Word of God is everything you need. All of the vitamins, all of the minerals, all of the carbohydrates, all the protein. Everything you need for life and godliness is in there. I remember that old Ragu commercial. Remember that old Ragu commercial? They said, well, do you have mushrooms? It's in there. Are there onions? It's in there. Everything you need, even antioxidants, are in there. I like that pomegranate commercial. Anybody ever see that? Right? They're standing with that bowl, these kind of reddish, purplish guys, right? And if somebody mistakenly knocks on the door, rings the doorbell, and he shoots off his arrow because he's ready to shoot and take down, right? Antioxidants, all right? Free radicals, it's taking them down. I'm telling you that the Word of God will not only give you the nutrition you need to grow and to thrive and will revive your soul. It will even help you fight off the enemies of your soul, the free radicals of your soul. It says it will revive your soul. It will replenish it. See, I'm trying to sell you on something. Because maybe this isn't a part of your habit. You habitually eat. You go for that comfort food, right? You know, that pound cake or that cherry pie or the apple pie. And oh, you feel so good for a little while, right? Then you say, like me, I ate too much. I think I'm getting sore throat. I think I'm getting sick. All right, this won't make you sick. I'm telling you, the Word of God will comfort you, strengthen you. There are promises there. You like sweet things? It is interesting in verse 18. Watch this. He speaks of God's Word in verse 10. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, than the honey from the comb. He's talking about God's Word. Can you imagine yourself eating the Word of God? You like, you know, honey, da-da-da-da-da-da-da? Well, ask God to give you a hunger, a appetite, a sweet tooth for the honey of His Word. Because it's more than enough to satisfy you. And it will revive you. It really will. And when you choose the daily bread, you shall not live by bread alone. That's what it says in Deuteronomy 8:3. Jesus was tempted after being fasting 40 days and 40 nights. The devil comes and tempts him and says, hey, listen, turn those stones. Imagine yourself how hungry you'd be after eating nothing. 40 days and 40 nights. He says, turn those stones into a croissant. Right? Into bread. And Jesus said, no. You shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Listen, if you're weary and you're tired, you want a superfood to give you some energy, it starts in the soul. It starts in the psyche, the mind. And I'm telling you that the Word of God is powerful. If you're having difficulty yielding to temptation, doing things you know you're not supposed to be doing, if you get easily irritated, you know, when I get hungry, I get irritated. Anybody been there? Hungry? Just irritated. Need something to eat. Right? You get anxious and worried. Right? You ever be there? And then you eat something, you feel much better, don't you? Listen, you don't need a cake. Cake's fine. Let them eat cake. You don't need a pill to chill. I'm telling you that there's comfort and there's hope and there's everything we need in the Word of God. See, it's not what you eat, it's what's eating you. People eat and overeat for a reason. I've done that. You get worried, anxious, you go and eat. So it's not what you eat, it's what's eating you. And when you come to understand that you don't have to be driven that way, you don't have to be upset that way, that there is a balm that is a healing agent in Gilead. And the Word of God is not just pointing you to words on a page. It's pointing you to the Word. See, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Jesus, again, in John 6, you can read it that chapter later at home. He says, I'm the bread of life. Your fathers ate that food in the wilderness. And you know what? They weren't satisfied. Were they? He gave them daily manna. It's another word for bread. Daily. And guess what? Were they satisfied? No. They began to murmur, we're tired of this bread. It had everything. It was the superfood. It had everything in it. And they thrived on it. They grew on it, but they did not grow spiritually. They were dissatisfied with it. What do they want? They wanted some chicken, right? And so God sent them quail. This is foul, you know, foul language. Okay, He sent that to them. And they ate it till it's just like, you know, as people eat and they go, oh, all right. And they became sick of that. And they continued to complain no matter what God gave them. They were never satisfied because they did not eat the food of heaven. And I'm telling you, this word of God points us to Jesus. It's not just words. It's words that have been inspired by God through the Holy Spirit, that there is a dynamic and a synergy I'm going to talk about later, that when you read His Word, the Holy Spirit will convict you, the Holy Spirit will show you, the Holy Spirit will use it to grow you and to strengthen you. So it's more than just words, more than words, the song says. This is about Christ, because all of this book points us to Jesus, and there's something spiritual that happens if we trust Him, if we ask Him. When you read this, try it. I recommend it to you. Take the Word of God. Now it says, you know, Pastor William said, read this and that the Holy Spirit will help you. Holy Spirit will bring things to your mind. He inspired this Word. And He knows where you are and what you need. And He will witness with your spirit and your mind. Oh yeah, I see that. And He will lead you to Jesus for help. Now notice, it says it's perfect in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. That means it's complete. And it also is speaking of a maturity, that it would lead you to mature emotionally and spiritually and physically. Why do you say physically? Because many of our physical problems start up here. You ever think about that? High blood pressure, okay? Is linked to worry, stress, etc. You can chill without a pill when you read God's Word. Now come with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And here Paul is writing to one of his disciples in the ministry, Timothy. He was a young man, a man who grew up on formula, right? I'm serious. He grew up on formula. What do you call that stuff? Familiar something or another, right? What do you call that? Okay, he had something in his sippy cup, which is not what you think. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy, I said chapter 3. And let's begin reading verse 14. All right? He says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. He says, I've taught you well, and your mama and your grandma taught you. That's in another section here. Now notice, and how from infancy, parents, start from infancy teaching your children the Bible. I remember my mother going through scriptures and teaching me the Ten Commandments, teaching me this and that. I could hardly read, but she'd read it to me. Read it to your children if they cannot read. Read with them if they can. Notice, that's why I said from infancy. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. He is talking about a growth here from spiritual food. A progressive growth. You've known them from infancy, and you've known the Holy Scriptures from infancy, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Notice, it is to make him wise in faith in Christ Jesus. It's to lead us to faith in Christ. It's not just words, and that's it. It's not a dead-end proposition. You read that, and okay. No, it's to lead you to Christ. And the Holy Spirit works to convict us and to lead us. All Scripture, notice this in verse 16, is God-breathed. This is not from a man. This is God coming from His very being and telling us and showing us a picture of what He's like, a letter of His love for us, His character, how we should live. And He's the source of the power to do it. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. You can eat something that's very tastes good, but it may not be useful or good for you. This is what I'm recommending. This Timothy was eating from infancy. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Now notice it notes several categories here, but it's all to grow us. You can't grow without teaching. You can't grow without being corrected. You can't grow without being training. We taught it, train our children. We potty train them. But do we train them in the righteousness from the Scripture? And God our Father uses His Word to train us, His children, so that the man of God, the woman of God, so He takes us from Timothy in infancy, growing up on the Scriptures, to a man of God, still in the Scriptures, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is to equip you for life. And it's a progression from infancy, teenage, blah, 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 to womanhood, manhood. So that what you've been eating will make you more and more like Christ because you have been eating of Jesus. The words that I speak to you, He said, are spirit and life. He said, eat of me at the end of every service. We eat of Him. We eat of the bread, drink of the wine. And I believe it strengthens us. Not that physical bread, not the physical wine, but Jesus has given this to the church as a means of grace that we may grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This word tells us that He loves us. Some have said that it's a love letter from God. Correctly, the song comes to our minds. Yes, in the affirmative. Yes, what? Come on. Yes, Jesus loves me. How do you know? How do you know? How do you know? For the Bible tells me so. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him will have eternal life. He shall not perish. That is a voice from Genesis. That it starts in Genesis after they had sinned. He so loved them that He clothed them. He sacrificed an animal, took the skin, and clothed their nakedness, clothed their sin. All the way through, from chapter to chapter, the message is about God's redeeming love. Yes, He loves us. Why wouldn't you want to hear that message and thrive on that message? There's nothing more powerful than the love of God. Why wouldn't you want to listen to that? Well, I got so much to do. Someone with Martin Luther, who was prodigious in his writings, would take hours and hours to pray and study the Word. And another monk asked him, how can you do that when you have so much to do? You know what he said? It's because I have so much to do that I do that. You wouldn't want to go out and run a marathon without eating for a couple of days. No, you stock up on carbs, right? Because you know you've got to exert energy. Well, listen, then the race of life and our jobs of life, we need supernatural food. Popeye may have had, right? Some of you are too young to know. Even the little ones. Y'all know, you ever see Popeye the Sailor Man what's the wife's name? Olive Oil, Olive. Right, and what's the guy who always wanted the Big Mac, right, before they were Big Mac? Huh? He would have to borrow on it. I'll gladly pay you tomorrow for, right? What was that guy's name? Wimpy, right? Okay. I know y'all don't look at this now, but that exposes my age. When I was a little boy, I said, no, pop out of something. He's in trouble. He pops up, you know. But listen, there's something more powerful than spinach. It's the Word of God that strengthens us. I hope you're buying into this. I'm trying to sell you some food today. All right? This is an advertisement for the Word of God. Eat and grow and become more like Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit See, the Holy Spirit, when we eat it, you can eat if you don't digest it, if you don't get it, right? You're malnourished. See, God has given His Word, which points to the Word, Jesus, and He has, see, it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit takes the Word and works it in our soul to help revive us. Notice here in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to quote it. In Ephesians 6 and verse 17, it says that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Now, if you want God to, and there are limits to what I'm saying. This is idealistic, I know. It's not that God won't help you and can't help you if you don't study His Word. But I am here to tell you that you can be more effective in any area of your life. You see, and even Proverbs teaches us that the Word of God is the foundation of all knowledge. You want to become a better student? Start there. If you're in spiritual warfare, you've got problems you're dealing with and so forth, you need the Word of God. For it says in Ephesians 6, it is the sword of the Spirit. Now, this is a limited analogy. You're not studying the Word of God. The Spirit of God is with you. You're His child. And He reaches for the sword to fight with you or for you in the battle. It ain't no sword. What do they call the thing that the sword is? The scabbage? Or is that what it is? He reaches, okay, I'm going to bring this to their mind, but they don't ever put nothing in their mind. But video games and this and that and the other thing. You know what David said? I have hidden your word in my heart so that I will not sin against you. We'll talk about that in other sermons. But if you read the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit can more easily work with you. And He's not limited by your reading, by the way. I'm just saying that it'll go easier for you if you study His Word. I want to tell you something else very quickly. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the Apostle Paul writes to the church there, and he says this, when you receive the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but actually as it is the Word of God, which is at work in you who believe. When you read the Word of God, when you even hear today hearing it preached, you receive it as the Word of God in you, as Christ in you. And He works that way through the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to summarize some things in Psalm 19 as we come to a conclusion very shortly here. Psalm 19 and verse 7. I don't have time today to go beyond that He revives your soul. If you just get that, eat the Word of God and become more like Jesus. As they say, you better eat your Wheaties. Life is difficult, right? And you need His help. You need His mind. See, if you stock up on junk. I hear kids all the time and adults, you know, you have to, excuse me. I see stuff. I hear stuff. Sometimes I hear stuff and people say, how did he hear that? It's these big ears, you see. And they're talking all kinds of stuff and they're rapping and music is going. I've seen people almost get run over in the street, y'all. Going through traffic. Remember the other day, honey? This guy's just going through traffic. He's filling his mind with that. It's all right to listen to certain things. But what I'm saying, you need to fill your mind with the Word of God. Listen to this. It says as well, verse 7. It says, making wise the simple. Are you simple? We all are to one degree or another. It will make you wise. It goes on to say, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to your heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. You'll be able to see things and see through things and have The ability to discern stuff. Because you've got a basis rather than 50 cents. Or whoever the latest person is. And he doesn't have 50 cents. He went bankrupt a long time ago. Maybe he got 50 cents. I hope he gets back on his feet and all that. But well, you know what I'm trying to say. You need to let the Lord rap to you through His Word. You need to let Him take the time and sit down. You get fearful. You know what the Word says in 1 Timothy? Remember talking about the young man Timothy? Maybe he was fearful about something. You know what he said? Paul said to him, 1 Timothy 1 verse 6, 2 Timothy 1 6, he says, listen, God has not given us a spirit of fear. You scared of the boogeyman? Right? You scared of the dark? Right? You've seen the movies, Boogeyman. Boogeyman gets beaten, doesn't he? Right? Right? He gets beaten. Because greater is He that is in you than is in the world. You don't have to be afraid of the darkness. Light dispels darkness. He said to Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So you get scared. When I become afraid, when there are difficulties that I face, oh, how am I going to do this? God says to me, you remember what I said? The Holy Spirit takes out that sword. He says, you know what I got right here? God has not given you a spirit of fear, Earl, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I said, that's right. But if you got all the garbage in your head, you don't, you're all afraid. And I remember the promises of God. And I remember that God loves me. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Even when I can't figure out how it's going to work out. You see, the Holy Spirit brings that to my mind. And the Holy Spirit witnesses with my spirit that I am a child of God. But if you are not in the Word, you're going to have a more difficult time. All that other stuff is not going to help you. I must conclude. There is a transformation that takes place when you're before the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12, it says, we're being transformed into His image. As I sit with the Word of God and I open it up, I say, God, teach me and help me to see Jesus. And in His presence, there's something that I cannot explain that is spiritual that happens. I am refreshed. Sometimes I get up and say, well, you know, I didn't understand that. I didn't get anything. But there's something that happens. It focuses my mind on Jesus. You need to eat. Don't leave home without it. You know, I ain't talking about American Express. I am talking about the Word of God. Eat of it. It will transform you. It will strengthen you. Take the time. You've got too much to do. Why won't you listen? Why don't you take time to listen to the Word of God? Eat it up and become more like Jesus Christ. Hi.